Welcome to the Audio Advocate for May 2022. I am Madeline Pella-White, the Virginia Conference Director of Communications.
So for our featured segment today, the Spiritual Vitality Committee of the Board of Ordained Ministry is inviting clergy to a clergy soul care retreat May 19th to the 21st. And I have with me the Reverend Sarah Payne, who is going to be leading one of those sessions, which is Art as Prayer. So Sarah, thank you so much for being with us and talking to us about this subject.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Sarah, art as a form of prayer. Can you explain how art can be a form of prayer?
Yes. Prayer, as we often think about it, is communication and conversation. We, however, often treat prayer as a one-sided conversation. Yet God speaks and longs for us to hear God's voice. When we are often busy filling that silence with our own words, that's not necessarily a wrong thing. God wants to hear us and the things that are going on in our lives, those concerns that we have for other people. The Spirit is moving in us to bring up people and situations to pray for. But it's not full enough. And sometimes what our souls need most is to be reminded that we matter enough to God, that the God who carved the Grand Canyon and who paints the sky in the morning and in the evening and in the day and the night wants to speak to us. For some people, silence is a comfortable space. For others like me, it's a struggle to quiet my mind and rid myself of distraction. My struggle with stillness and silence always makes me feel at odds with the psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Maybe you're like me, maybe read that, you're like, well, I'm not ever still. I can't ever quiet my mind. It's always running. Even if I get my body settled in a chair or seated or just not moving, my mind is running. And so centering is difficult at times for me. I have a hard time ridding myself of those distractions. And my struggle with stillness and silence always made me feel at odds with that be still and know. Pete Gregg in his book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, has a wonderful way of naming how art is a form of prayer, and he calls it kinetic centering. And he says this in his book, and I quote, "I will use physical exercise to burn off a little adrenaline and calm my mind. It's a shame that so few experts on prayer have ever acknowledged the importance of movement and exercise for those of us who are active learners and external processors, at least 50% of the population. A school teacher mentioned that many of his pupils processed information kinetically. By doing things actively rather than sitting at a desk passively, I began to realize that serenity doesn't always have to be silent, cerebral, solitary, or even static. Stillness can be active. In fact, recent medical research has discovered that exercise can be more effective than sitting still as a way of calming the brain, diffusing stress, and stimulating clarity of thought. It seems to me that such physiological effects can be gifts of God just as much as other conventional contemplative approaches," end quote. And I could not agree more. He says it so much better than I could, but I think he's right. For me and for maybe you or others, art can be a form of kinetic centering that allows us to find ourselves in who God is and to hear what God longs to speak to our hearts and to our lives.
So for clergy who will be attending your session, who may have never done this type of prayer before, how do you hope that they enter this space? And what do you hope that they leave with after the session?
Well, I think my hope is that they will hear from God. My hope is that they will be comforted by being in the presence of God and by hearing God's voice. I hope they will learn that art is like handwriting And no two people have the same signature. And there is not a perfect signature. There is simply your signature. Too often, people have been told that their art is not sufficient, or what they create is not of the sort of quality that they would want to share or show others, because some teacher at some point, somebody they love that they showed their artwork to, either criticized it in some way, maybe were even nice in doing so, but encourage them in creating art. And to me, art is not having to necessarily be the next Picasso or Frida Kahlo. It is the signature by which God is speaking into your particular life and situation. And so best is not the point. To listen to God in a new way is the point. And how can God's communication into a person's life not be beautiful?
Thank you for that, because that is important to remember. You know, it can be very vulnerable putting yourself out there, and especially for something like this. I love your mindset of it and the approach that you hope that people take to it. And especially, you know, the overall point of this retreat is for soul care, is for that time away and that time part of it. So if for those of us who cannot be there or who are laity, how would you, are there any tips that you would, if someone wants to try this for themselves, what does that look like?
Well, find a quiet space. And when I say quiet space, I mean a space that you will not feel distracted within. Quiet space has different meanings to different people. For some people, it's sitting by a form of running water, being out in nature. For some people, it's simply their armchair in their living room or at their kitchen table, wherever they can find a sense of quiet that rids them of distraction. Read the scriptures. They are full of images with deep significance and meaning. And maybe even go to the text that your pastor, or if you are the pastor, you preached the previous Sunday. Maybe God is wanting to continue to speak through that text. Or maybe it's another passage, but just be open the scriptures. Ask God to speak to you and through you. So while prayer is a form of art, and it's a form of art both in word and in action. And so for me, I will either in my heart or even out loud, even if I'm by myself in a quiet space, will ask God to speak and say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. And not ask God just to speak to you, but through you. Lord, speak through me. And listen, trust that the Spirit at work in you and through you, and see what you hear. And use whatever materials you feel the most comfortable with. So if you would rather use clay, if you would rather use just a pen and some paper, colored pencils, paint, whatever it is that you feel comfortable with using.
So you've talked about this a little bit already, but can you talk about your own relationship with art and with prayer?
Sure. Well, art is the prayer. It's how I clear myself, my motives, my voice out of the way so that I can hear from God. It's how I come back to center and how I am reminded that I am loved and known, and that I am loved enough to receive God's attention. As children of God, we long for our heavenly parent to give us attention, to remind us that we are loved, that we are known, that we matter, and that we are important, in the same way that when we were small children, we wanted to know that from our parents. And so on a whole nother level, God comes in. And it is such a loving experience for me to know that God wants to talk to me. And that God is willing to give me God's attention.
That's really beautiful. Thank you. So finally, when you think about this upcoming retreat and you're one of the session leaders, what is the hope that you and the team have for the clergy who decide to take this time away for the retreat?
It's been a rough couple of years. And I know as clergy, a lot of us are tired. We are a little burnout. And we need space of rest and renewal. In part because what is Sabbath for so many of our congregants is not really Sabbath for us. And so it is my hope that they will find a sense of Sabbath, a place of rest, a place of being in the presence of God. And that in doing so, they will find the care they need. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is when Jesus is confronted by a man with leprosy. And Jesus becomes ritually unclean because rather than just simply speaking healing into this man's life, he reaches him and touches him. And then he speaks healing. And so there's something about that proximity and closeness that brings healing into our lives. I like to think of it in terms of that Jesus kind of gets into this man's bubble and surprises him because he does the unexpected thing. And he lets him know that he has value apart from being healed. And I think that's the hope that I have for myself and for our fellow clergy, that when we come to this space, we will be in the proximity of Jesus. And that in some way, Jesus will touch our lives and remind us that we have value and worth even before Jesus does the healing in our lives. And that Jesus will also do the healing in us, that we need to continue to be wounded healers.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much and for sharing what your session is going to be about. I think we are all very hopeful that this will be a great opportunity for those who attend and also for any clergy listening to be taking advantage of any future opportunities that will come from the Board of Ordained Ministry. So thank you, Sarah.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
The Clergy Soul Care Retreat at Richmond Hill will be held from May 19th to the 21st. You can learn more at the conference website. And now for a short break. Do you have questions about the United Methodist Church? Ever wonder about the foundational documents of the denomination? Do you know the church's stance on Halloween? Do United Methodists believe in saints? Ask the UMC is a resource created by the denomination to help answer questions related to our denomination's mission and ministry. Visit umc.org and search for Ask the UMC to see what questions have been asked and answered and even submit your own. Here are our headlines for the month from around the conference and world. In a declaratory decision shared yesterday, May 10th, by the Judicial Council, it was stated that an annual conference may not vote to separate from the denomination. The UMC's top court noted that while an annual conference has the reserved right to vote on disaffiliation, the General Conference may first enact enabling legislation to establish the right to withdraw, but has not done so for conferences in the United States. quote, the General Conference is the only body that can regulate the process and set the conditions for an annual conference in the United States to leave the United Methodist Connection, the court said, adding that there is no basis in church law for any annual conference to adopt stopgap policies, pass resolutions, take a vote, or act unilaterally for the purpose of removing itself from the United Methodist Church, end quote. In its decision, the Judicial Council noted that absent General Conference legislation, any vote and actions taken by an annual conference to separate are unconstitutional, null and void, and of no legal force or effect. The Council of Bishops expressed gratitude following this decision. Council of Bishops President Thomas J. Bickerton stated in part, "We are grateful for the ongoing work of the Judicial Council, who continue to serve the Church tirelessly with significant attention and care. This decision has affirmed the connection as the universal thread out of which the temporal and spiritual fabric of the Church is providentially woven, and provided clarity and direction as we move forward through these unprecedented days of challenge and change," end quote. You can read more from the Judicial Council's decision and the statement from the Council of Bishops at the conference website. The Global Methodist Church, a theologically conservative breakaway denomination, launched May 1st as its official start date. However, it will take time for any potential separation from the United Methodist Church to take place. The United Methodist Church, by design, makes breaking up, and especially taking church property, hard to do. Wesley himself established the forerunner of the United Methodist Trust Clause, which states that all church property is held in trust for the entire denomination. That means congregations can't just leave and take church buildings with them. On April 18th, Bishop Lewis shared a letter stating, quote, "While the Cabinet and I believe the vast majority of churches in the Virginia Annual Conference will want to stay as part of the United Methodist Church denomination, there is a process for those who wish to leave and have prayerfully discerned this as their best course." The Virginia Conference is also committed to dialogue with churches unsure about the path they should take. For many, remaining in this denomination will be the right decision. At all times, though, we will respect that the decision to stay or leave the denomination is one of conscience, end quote. The Virginia Conference will follow paragraph 2553 for those churches who are considering disaffiliating from the denomination over matters related to human sexuality. On May 3rd, it was announced that a special annual conference will be held virtually on Saturday, October 29th, 2022 at 9:30 a.m. The sole purpose of this special session called annual conference is to ratify the disaffiliation of local churches seeking to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church over matters of human sexuality. Paragraph 2553 of the Book of Discipline will govern this process. All approvals and agreements under this process must be completed by September 30th, 2022 to be considered at the October 29th, 2022 special session called annual conference. Dates of additional called annual conferences for this purpose will be available in the near future. Both announcements can be read in full on the conference website. We are less than 50 days away from the 240th session of the Virginia Annual Conference. The annual meeting will be in person this year at Hampton Roads Convention Center from June 16th to the 18th. All annual conference news is available at vaumc.org/AC2022. Right now, you can learn more about mission opportunities at the annual conference and sign up for Saturday morning's 5K walk/run. You can take part in this run or walk either in person or sign up virtually and do it from wherever you are in the Commonwealth or around the nation. A new report shows that the United Methodist Church is still at the beginning stages of cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The goal is to be net zero by 2050, meaning that agencies, boards, and commissions are effectively ceasing to damage the environment through energy use. The balance between cutting emissions and keeping up vital ministries is a delicate one. The effort, begun on Earth Day in 2021, is a complicated one involving equity and justice. The Reverend Jenny Phillips, Senior Technical Advisor for Environmental Sustainability at the United Methodist Global Ministries, is a co-convener of the agency's net zero effort. She said, quote, "We want to be sure that the interventions we are taking are ones that don't offload more suffering on communities that are already experiencing hardship due to pollution and climate. We could all just run out and buy whatever offsets are on the market, but if they're offsets that have negative impacts on certain communities, that's not the right solution," end quote. Offsets involve activities such as funding of planting trees and renewable energy sources to make up for the release of greenhouse gases. An organization can purchase such offsets in the marketplace. Initiatives for the first year included training on how to use the Energy Star portfolio, a tool that tracks energy use and emissions from buildings, and some exploratory discussions on how to keep equity and justice concerns in mind while making changes to cut emissions. Jake Barnett, Director of Sustainable Investment Stewardship for the Church's West Path Benefits and Investments, said in a press release, quote, "Net zero is an important goal that will require collaboration and innovation within the broader church and beyond," end quote. You can learn more about this in an April 20th article by UM News. That's it for our headlines. Now for our one last word. I would like for you to join me in a moment of beauty. First, picture layers of rock upon rock, the entire rock face crumbling alongside its edges. Each layer is unique. One layer, a light blue. The one above is a warm yellow. This is the Bright Angel Shale Ledge in Grand Canyon National Park, where small amounts of various minerals, most containing iron, impart these shades of blue, green, yellow, and orange on the canyon walls. I invite you this month to look for those moments of beauty, whether it's in the environment around you or your interactions with your fellow humans. This has been the Audio Advocate for May. Access this podcast and other Connectional Ministry podcasts through many platforms, including Spotify, Apple, and the conference website. I want to thank the Reverend Sarah Payne for joining us. And thank you for joining me. The Audio Advocate will be back next month.